super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy that every woman wants to stuff her turkey. 42nd Street Pete.
Hey, we're back here after that little tirade last week. And, you know, it didn't go away. I think we had, you know, we taped the show on a Wednesday, obviously, because, you know, we're out Saturday night having fucking fun, so we can't do that. But anyway, the whole thing snowballed into a lot of pros, cons, and everything with this whole torrent thing. And a lot of people were out, you know, I got to, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but not when you get, like, you know, verbally confrontational or get fucking insulting and shit. And there was a couple people that actually did, and I think they got their just desserts from other members of the AVN Maniacs boards. But I want to thank the people that are supporting us. Mike Razzo put up a huge post about, you know, support After Hours Cinema, report internet piracy, and we're going to try to push this fucking thing. It's ridiculous, and, you know, people who don't get it, you know, will never get it. There's no argument. It seems that people that live in a few certain countries just feel that, like, I'm going to say it, their shit don't stink, they can do whatever they want, and I can go fuck myself. It's like one guy said, because somebody went on the post, he goes, you can suck my balls. And the other guy goes, well, I'd love to see you walk up and say that to him. Then after he pulls your asshole out through your eye socket, it would make a hell of a DVD extra. That's an exact quote off this. So, yeah, a lot of people came out, Todd. A lot of people, you know, and you know yourself after the show, you got a lot of calls too. So it's not a bullshit thing. It's a very serious thing, and we take it very seriously. And we're not going to back down. At least I'm not going to back down.
Well,
I know
there's,
you know, other people that, you know, own big companies that, you know, make lots more fucking money than we'll ever make or anybody else will ever make. But, you know, it's time to start saying shit instead of, well, I don't want to make waves, I don't want to do that, it isn't hurting me. It is fucking hurting you. Well, maybe certain people it ain't going to hurt, but a lot of stuff, other things hurt. And, you know, smaller companies too. You got to get vocal about this shit. So I don't hide behind shit, man. You know, I say what the fuck is on my mind. And that was on my mind big time last week, and still is, because it's not over yet. That thread's gone over 20 pages.
Wow.
And had last time like 17,000 hits. So a lot of people came forward. Ross from Netzer Entertainment in Ohio, he made some valid points about how, you know, they're saying this isn't hurting rentals. And he goes, yeah, people were in the store talking about Black Devil Doll, and instead of buying it, they go, oh, let's go home and download it. So yeah, he's fucked out of a sale or a rental too. So it does affect everybody.
That's true. And the fact is, look, man, we're not trying to be money grubbers. We're not trying to say, oh man, we're going after the fan. We're not Metallica here, okay? Metallica goes after a 15-year-old kid who's their fan. And the thing that irritated me about that was, okay, back in the day, and we both know this is true, how I found out about Metallica, I found them in a record store, right? And they had this little record called Kill 'Em All. No one knew who the hell they were. They couldn't get radio play. No one wanted to give them the time of day, and they would have done anything at that moment for someone to listen to their music. So I made a cassette tape, and I took it to my friends, and I said, hey, you know, Chris, listen to this band. Hey, Joe, listen to this band. My friends took it home, they listened to it, they're like, holy crap, this band kicks ass. They went and bought the damn album themselves. That's what it was about, and that's all these kids were doing. And so when Metallica went after those guys, I was like, yeah, you're a bunch of douchebags, because you don't need the money. But the difference is, with the situation we're in, we really do want to be able to keep making movies, and you really do want to keep putting product out. And you're not going to be able to do that if every time you drop, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 to put out a DVD, you never recoup the cost. No one's going to give you money to put out another one. And that's the sad fact of reality. So if you love the product that Pete's putting out, and if you love the movies that these independent horror guys are putting out, all you got to do is support them a little bit, pay the $15, and let them be able to make more movies. Because without that, if you're pirating this stuff, chances are you're going to put them out of business. Then you're going to be crying one day saying, oh man, we're so tired. All we get is, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer, or The Orphan. It's your own damn fault, because you just put the little guy out of business.
Yeah.
For those of you who want to interact with the show, join the Three Wing Circus. Wind up at the ninth level of hell. Just go to www.jackalope105fm.com and click on chat, and then you'll be in the chat room. Or you might think you're in the chat room. You might be in my room, the room I broadcast out of, the room that's chained up and padded. So make your choice as well, my friends. You never know where you're going to end up here.
You think Pinhead's hard. Man.
You just thank God for weed, because that little dwarf is still kicking my colon out.
No dwarf, you know, man. No dwarf.
And that brings me, you know, another thing too, because I said last week that I had worked on a movie the week prior to that. And what happened was, I think I had mentioned this before, and we had had her on before, Ruby LaRocca and her Chainsaw Kiss group.
Right.
Well, one of the directors, Victor Bonacore, contacted me, and he goes, I got this script. I want you to check it out because I want you to play one of these characters in it. So I'm like, okay, this is another thing I'm not going to get paid for, but let me just look at it anyway. Because I'm to the point now, like, if you don't pay me, I'm not doing anything anymore. I'm just being a fucking whore about it right about now because I'm getting tired of getting stuck. But anyway, I read the script, and I'm like, this is really fucking interesting. And I'm not going to really get into what it's about. We're going to try to get a hold of them in a couple minutes. We've been having some connection problems here. But it was really interesting and really different and really weird and twisted and fucked up. So I'm like, okay, well, what do you want me to play? And he has this group of characters. And basically, my character is one of this group called the Long Hairs. We're basically a satanic hit squad. And my character is Smoke. I'm the leader because I sit around smoking and, you know, blowing smoke all over the place and shit. I'm not inhaling it unless it's a joint. So anybody go, oh, I thought you quit smoking cigarettes. Yeah, I did. I'm not even, you know, I'm using a cigarette as a prop. I'm not inhaling it. I had a cigar when I started, and I know I was going to get that into this whole characterization thing where I was blowing the smoke every 5-10 minutes. So that's what happened with that. But anyway, Lenia Quigley is cast in it. She came up from Florida for 2 days. We shot in the back of Ruby and Victor's house in Montclair, which they decked out to be. The only thing I can say is picture Freaks on Acid, that type of thing. Very weird and twisted. And then we did some exterior stuff in the house, a party scene, guys wearing goat's masks. There's another segment of this whole satanic bunch called Fairy Tales, and there were a bunch of gay satanic guys. And they're nuts. It's just a whole weird thing. And then we went down in Newark and we shot basically the kill scene, the massacre scene, where, like I said, I'm going to let them get into the whole thing. But we basically dismember this person and eat him. And there's some really sick fucking shit going on that I actually got involved in, too. So, yeah, it's different. This is another thing about independent films. This is going to be really interesting when it comes out because it's shot on 16, 8, and Super 8. And nobody does this shit anymore. It's going to cost probably 5 or 6 times what it would cost to shoot on digital video, but they want to see how it's going to look to get that raw, gritty look. So why don't we try to call her now? What the fuck? She's probably she's got to be off the phone by now. True spirit of Thanksgiving.
Hello.
Hey.
Wow, we got her.
Hey, what's up?
Should we try to call Victor?
I'll bring him up.
Blackula is back. All new. All powerful. The Black Prince of Shadows returns in Scream, Blackula, Scream. See Scream, Blackula, Scream, all new, rated PG, starring William Marshall, Don Mitchell, and Pam Grier, the godmother of coffee. Blackula is back in Scream, Blackula, Scream.
Hey, you, with the bag, come here. 42nd Street Pete. What do you got, man? That cheap porn? This multi-hour crap? Brother, you need to go to AlternativeCinema.com for all your grindhouse needs. You can get Shockorama titles for your horror fix. You can get Seduction Cinema if you like Misty Monday, Ruby LaRocca, Darien Cain, and others. You can go to the Secret Key Motion Pictures for your TNA. Then you can go to After Hours Cinema for the films of Joe Sarno, Sean Costello, Nick Phillips, Phil Prince, and the 42nd Street Pete line of 8mm Madness, plus Blue Underground, Synapse, Halo, and other fine grindhouse titles, only at AlternativeCinema.com. Act now and get free shipping in the U.S. and reduced shipping to Canada. That's at AlternativeCinema.com. Tell them 42P sent you.
If your sex life is just a bit underfed lately, what you may need is a good head session with
Dark Girl's Pleasure Chest.
Tune in and turn on with
Dark Girl's Pleasure Chest.
Can I feel that big thing again, lover?
Dark Girl's Pleasure Chest.
Jackalope 105 FM.
Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Jackalope 105 FM. His is the one that went to voice.
Hello?
Hey.
Oh, wow, we got him. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, they got me. Am I live on the air?
Yeah.
Hey, Ruby.
You didn't leave the Poconos yet, you bag of shit. You said you were leaving 2 hours ago.
I know, but, you know, my girlfriend just got here, and it's her birthday. And
okay.
So I spilled all the cupcakes.
Uh-oh.
I had all these cupcakes out. She walked in the door, and I came out with these cupcakes, and right after I finished the birthday song, they fell all over the ground. Yeah.
Right now, we just have the two, I guess, masterminds of Chainsaw Kiss, Ruby LaRocca and Victor Bonacore. I was basically telling them about how you guys got me involved in the whole Blood Wings thing. So why don't you tell the listeners what Blood Wings is all about, or what you just want to let out it's all about? Because I don't want to let no secrets out of the bag. You know what I'm saying?
Ruby, you want to start?
Sure. I mean,
yeah, you start.
Blood Wings to me is it's about how people aren't always what they are perceived to be. The champions of the film, the good guys, the family, are actually what most people, you know, would think would be the opposite of that. And I think it's a, you know, a good way to look at, like, you know, regular life. That sometimes that when you look at people a certain way, that, you know, that looks are deceiving, I guess, you know. And
how did you come up with the whole concept of it, the script and all that, or was that Victor?
It actually started a really long time ago. There was Victor and I were driving in the car one day. This was like at least a year ago. Well, we were talking about a certain, I don't want to give too much away, but we were talking about a certain death scene in a movie where Victor was like, that's never been shown in a movie. You've never seen, like, a person, you know, die like that. We should do a movie where a person dies. See, I don't want to say too much. A person dies like that. So that actually started like a long time ago. It just started with that particular death scene. And then it just kind of grew from there. Like,
it started with the death scene. And exactly. That's how it started. And then we got the title because another conversation one day, I think we were in a bar and everyone was talking about getting your blood your red wings. Which is when you eat a girl out when she's on her period.
Yeah, it's an old biker
and
thing.
And I was just
started that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know that. And I was just so grossed out by it. I'm it's so horrible. But the kind of name, and like, you know, people were saying, like, Ert, you got to earn your red. Did you earn your red wings at the casino? I'm like, oh my God, never. I'll die without earning my red wings.
Well, they had brown wings. They had brown wings, too.
And everyone there was talking about it. I'm like, wait, am I really that, like, straight lace? Like, everyone here is like, you know, everyone's really cool, but they're all like, yeah, no big deal, do it, just get it over with, it's cool. You never did that? And I'm like, oh, no. And then that's how that started, and like, that was just the spark of the thing, like, earning something, you know? But,
really, was both of us, like, going back and forth with ideas, what it should be about, like, things we wanted to incorporate, and something, like, Victor and I always wanted to do was to take anything negative that anyone has ever said to us or anything anyone has done to us and put it in a movie. Like, take, you know, to use that, to use it as, like, fuel, you know what I mean? To say, like, you know, call me whatever you want or do me whatever you want. It's not going to, like, break down who I am as a person. As a matter of fact, I'm going to use it. I'm gonna, it's just kind of a... Am I allowed to curse?
Of course.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's kind of a fuck you to anyone that's ever, like, said anything negative to us or done anything negative to us. I mean, that's not what the whole movie's about, but we definitely from the beginning wanted to incorporate anything like that, anything negative that has happened to us, and put it in a movie. It's like, it just makes it, like, it turns it. It makes us, like, makes it us, like, the one in control. It makes us, like, the powerful one. It feels really good, actually.
Yeah, because, you know, you fuck people in real life, you know, and you don't actually, you know, have to have a real confrontation, you know, feel good about it, and know that, you know, you're just making art, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
When we were coming up with, like, the you know, the villain of the movie, we were like, Victor said, let's make them everything you hate in a person. So we're like, who do you hate? What kind of people do you hate? We hate cops. We hate this. We hate that. You know, like, that was Victor's idea. Like, let's make that character everything you hate. And it worked great. I mean, it worked perfectly.
Let's make them worse, you know, like, make him run an underground and dog fighting ring, you know? Like, when I heard about Michael Vick, that football player, the guy that was like...
Yeah, that douche.
Cheap rich guy is running a dog fighting ring? I was like, fuck this guy, man. Like, put that guy in jail for life, man, you know? And it's just really... Put that in the movie. Make him a cop that's doing that, you know? Yeah, so... I thought that made, you know... It's pretty easy to hate that guy, you know? Pretty horrible person, you know?
Yeah, that's what I actually liked about the whole script, because there was this whole creeping realism in it, because I've known people that are that fucking scummy and fucked up and shit and have had to deal with them on a one-to-one basis at times. But, you know, like, I was saying before you guys came on the air, like, thinking, I'm like, this fucker is really different, really unique, and it can really, really work. So that's, you know, you got me on board, and then you got Linnea Quigley, which, you know, is a real coup, because she thinks so highly of the whole project, you know?
Yeah, and what's great about having Linnea in there, and, like, well, everybody, like, even you, Pete, you know? You're a guy whose, like, career, is very respectable, and, that you know, I think it's amazing. And then you have people like Linnea Quigley, who, you know, has a demand and is someone in the realm and, you know, works on these because she really believes in them, you know, because she wants to be part of them, and it's cool. You know, we're part of a family, and, you know, so everyone coming together and doing that is just, you know, pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's great. I appreciate the comment. I thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's like everybody came together. Like, I knew a few of the people on the set, you know, from Chiller and a couple of other places and stuff. Like, I know Billy Hellfire forever. I know Ruby forever. You know, you guys, when you started the thing over at the film archives. And then you met my daughters last night, you know, so that was pretty nice.
Yeah. So. The crazy
Grindhouse Girls. Yeah, they want to be in it, you know? I mean, this is what independent filmmaking is all about. There's no egos. Everybody's, you know, doing what they want to do. They're having a good time. I mean, shit, that thing last Sunday with, you know, Mike Hunchback just rolling in the fucking blood.
God. Yeah. Pure rock and roll cinema.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Shit. And then I'm
sitting you tell me one thing. I like... That guy is amazing. Mike Hunchback is amazing. And you tell me what, like, that's going to be so rock and roll. Like, that, if that's not rock and roll, what is, you know?
Yeah.
If that's not rock and roll, Mike Hunchback, you know, amazing.
Going,
it's licking blood off the floor and rolling in puddles. And loving every second of it. And then getting up and going, what else you need me to do?
Then I'm, like, then I'm sitting there going, you get blood on my $300 trench coat, I will fucking kill somebody for real.
Yeah. And Ruby,
we're really, really, really fortunate. And just, I feel like just amazed by the amount of effort that people are willing to, you know, to put in for us. And even us, like, you know, ourselves, like me, Joe and Victor, and Jimmy, like, all everyone who works on it with us, like, we just, there's unwavering loyalty, you know, there really, really is, and that's from everyone who's, like, putting time and effort and money into it, to even, like, you know, people who are just there for the day or for whatever, you know, like, people are really into it, they're so supportive, but beyond that, it's like, they just give us so much, and that is amazing, especially nowadays, like, it really, really is amazing to have people that will show up and just have such a good time doing it and do anything for us, you know, it's like, if this doesn't happen, I don't think that happens that much anymore. And
no, I mean, those two guys drove up from West Virginia, that one kid, that the guy with my DVD collection on YouTube, he drove up from, like, Baltimore, or took a train up or something.
Zane Crosby and Justin Channel drove up from West Virginia. They're amazing. They're young filmmakers themselves, you know, and they understand it, you know, and that's just, it's so cool.
Wow.
I got Joe sitting here, too. You got to get him on the phone.
Okay.
Well.
What was all that noise? Did you hear it? It was like, and I was like, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like.
Every time Ruby talked, it sounded like the friggin' Grudge was going on in the background.
It's Satan. That's what it is.
We're like in the, we just got turned around, so we're in boondocks. I haven't seen anything, but, like, you know, I haven't seen any animals, but I think it's the only kind of living thing around. And, there's deers and bears and
aliens.
Back on the air. I think I was just talking about how Mike Hunchback is rock and roll, and then I was going to mention how Ruby did some stuff I wish we could talk about, but I kind of want to just wait for people to see it.
That was intense.
All I got to say is that scene was, like, so intense and, like, even just, you know, like, when you write something and you vision it, you know, like, you're like, all right, that's how I want it to look. It was, like, that, but times 20, you know, like, it was that, and then, like, another, you know, it was just insane. And,
I think even she was surprised how good that came out.
That's what made her a good actress, because she didn't even, like, react, like, she reacted just, like, how that character was, and that's what was, like, so fucking cool about it. It's just, like, you know, we didn't record, we were just MOF, we didn't sound on the scene, because there's going to be some crazy noise and music and chanting going on, but, like, it was just amazing. It was just like, I was like, that's going to be in the cover of Fangoria in a couple, you know, maybe in, like, a couple months, if they have the balls to put it up there.
No, well, you never know.
If
you kiss his ass, probably he'll do it. You know,
I kissed Michael Gingold on the butt.
This whole character thing was you have me as, like, basically a leader of a hit squad. Then you have a gay squad. Then you have this, you have that. It's just like, it's almost, you know, when you think of it, when you really look, you know, down, when not to give nothing away, it's almost reminiscent of Freaks.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That kind of love.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the same kind of love in Freaks. And Freaks, they never say the word love. You know, they're not like, it's just so abstract. It's like the most abstract version of love, but it's like so family. That's totally what it's like, you know, totally like just that be okay being an outcast, you know, it's okay, you know, that you're
absolutely. It's better than okay.
A freak show.
It's,
exactly.
Yeah, it's better than okay. It's like where you want to be. It's what who you want to be. Yeah, whatever it is. Whatever it is that makes you happy, that makes you who you are, that's what you should be. I'm going to put Joe on for a second. Cause,
oh, yeah, you're going to say Joey Smack's there. Joe Smack.
Joe is the genius DP, director of photography of this flick.
Yeah, that brings me to another point. And to my knowledge, nobody else would really have the balls to do that. You're actually shooting in real film. You were starting with 16.
We like, actually, it was like a couple of weeks ahead, you know, back. We're like, man, we got no more money. Like, I'm broke. And then me and Joe just, like, kind of talked about shooting that whole scene in 8. I think Joe was just like, wouldn't that scene look crazy in 8? I was like, yeah, you know, like.
Well, no, like you're selling yourself short. You got the inspiration by watching the old Anton LaVey videos.
I was going to get the
If they aren't, the colors are so muted that the Super 8 would have worked for that scene. So, like, you're selling
yourself short.
Your idea, Victor.
Well, yeah, I remember that, too. Yeah, we watched that shit. We're like, that would look crazy because it would look like a real satanic mess, you know? That Anton LaVey would be having that look and just, you know, that grittiness. I think it's going to look crazy. And but yeah, shooting on 16, like, you know, Joe knows that shit like the back of his hand. So, you know, and that's on 16, you know. He's like Rambo with that thing.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It's guerrilla filmmaking at its finest, actually.
Well, actually, Pete, also, we got Mike Rosso gave me a long time ago, so, like, there was no way we were going to run out. He gave me a lot of leftover film stock that Fedeli used or Tim Healy or whoever left them over. So, you know, we were back. If we wanted to shoot on 16, we could have shot that whole scene on 16.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, it was, like, me and Victor had talked about it way before we actually went to that day. We kind of knew that the ritual scene was going to be shot in Super 8. And we just wanted, like, we had, like, a little bit left over in the can, and we're like, want to, like, roll out before we run out of it, so we made sure that we had enough to get a little bit of the ritual scene on 16, enough that we could use, you know, for editing, and then then we could switch over to Super 8. And, like, well, I think our major shot was to show somebody there that was actually, like, the filmmaker, or at least not the filmmaker, the guy that's shooting the ritual scene in Super 8, so we could establish that when we switch over to that footage.
That's going to look real grindhouse when it comes out, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know a lot about Super 8 to begin with. You got all the old stag reels and, like, a ton of old 8mm films that you have in your own personal collection as well, right?
Right. I got 16, too.
The other weird thing is just, like, I've talked to my dad. Like, he grew up in, like, you know, he was born in, like, I think 1952 or 51 or...
That's when I was born, 52.
Yeah. So, like, did you grow up with, like, your home videos were, like, 16 millimeter prints that you could...
Yeah. The stupid fucking vacation movies, yeah.
Yeah, that's what my dad...
Like I said, it's awesome. You used to project that on the wall and shit, you know?
Yeah, with an old little 860. Actually, I got an old 16mm projector from... It's got to be from the 40s.
Wow.
No sound, no nothing.
Was it like a cast iron, like a...
Oh, yeah.
That's what my dad probably watched it, because like, he was like a military brat. So, you know, they would get films every once in a while, and they'd be able to, like, project on the wall. I don't know if, like, a lot of them are, like, sound or whatnot. I have a couple of projectors myself. Haven't really
I'll bring
tried
it down
to, like,
if you want to see it.
What's that?
I'll bring it down if you want to see it.
Oh, yeah, bring it on over.
Especially if it still works and everything. I'd like to see that work.
Yeah, I don't know. I got two Bell and Howells. I don't know. Something's fucking wrong with them. Each one's got something wrong with them, and I'm good with the eights, but I'm not good with these.
That's what I got. I got a Bauenhaus 16 projector, and I got, I don't even know what the 8mm is. Or it's not 8mm, it's Super 8. I don't even know if like Super 8 and 8mm, they should be able to play the same film stacks, but they're the same size.
You know,
difference.
It's something with this, it's a small, there's a smaller hole in the 16 on the, where the sprockets
sprock
are.
Hole. Yeah.
And those dual projectors are such pieces of shit that they just eat everything up. I've yet to find a Super 8 projector that worked halfway decent.
I have a Super 8 that's not that bad, actually. But at least I've been able to play my, stuff that I shot, on Super 8 with. It's weird. It looks like a reel-to-reel recorder. The way like it's like set up. It's not like a regular projector. It's like a rectangular like box that like if you put it up, it looks like it's playing reel-to-reel recording tape.
Right.
So Pete, you know you've been in like you've been in a couple movies and stuff too. Have you ever been in a film like it's shot on film and stuff and like. I mean, what did you think about like the whole?
Oh, it was the whole process was fascinating. Yeah. So, I've done this stuff with Zach, with the Bat Babe and the Iron Babe.
Yeah, X-Meg.
It was different because you basically got to try to get it one or two takes, or you're out of luck.
Yeah, exactly. Like every time you roll, it's thing, And Joe is like pretty much the only one that really knows the camera, and like Ruby's learning it and pretty fast too. Like She's pretty much a camera assistant as well, and when she's not actually, in front of the camera, she's like right there behind with Joe, because Joe's like doing everything. He's loading the film and getting everything set up. While I lose my mind, and
Jessica's there to help out with all the shots.
You know, when Jess isn't in the scene, she's doing the light meter. Sometimes she's doing the light meter on herself while she's in the scene.
Yeah, right. She's nonstop.
Yeah, so
I saw that she's like all over everything, and then doing the scenes, taking the still photos. Yeah, she's like, she's it. She's like, I know she's listening, and I'm not stroking your ego, but she's almost on that level with Linnea. As far as
totally. I always say it, the best actress in the world, rock and roll. Move over.
I don't even know. There's no depth to anybody in the mainstream stuff anymore.
Right?
It's all in the end. There's no depth to any of that shit. I can't even watch the fucking crap anymore. So you can curse on my show. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't know if you know Todd. Todd directed a bunch of stuff, too.
Wait, is Todd on the line?
I'm here.
Todd, is Todd Sheets?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, I've seen your movies, man. Actually, when I was like really young, my...
I saw Zombie Rampage.
No, not that one. Oh, that's terrible.
That's the one I saw.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I, if I could give you your hour and a half back, I would, man. That's it.
Yeah.
That's hideous. Well, that's what happens, though. It was my first movie ever, and I was a kid, I was like 14 years old.
I bought that movie. When was that available for Tempe Video?
Oh, that was a long time. That was like, golly.
That's when I bought it. I found Jim Van Beber for that same company around the same time. That must have been like 91.
Yeah, somewhere
there. J.R. Bookwalter was out at Chiller. It was about 91.
Yeah.
We were in a gymnasium.
Well, that was when, like, all the video stuff was, like, getting pumped out, too, because, like, Jared Bookwalter's got...
I got better, thank God, but it took a while. Because when you're a kid, you're just having fun with your friends. I never knew that stuff was going to get distributed, and Dave Dakota's like, hey, I could put this stuff out for you. And I said, really? And, of course, my friends look at me like, you'd better. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. Most people hide that stuff in a closet. I let it get distributed worldwide like a fool. But now, you know, it served its purpose for the time, and I got better. And, you know, we grow as filmmakers, but, man, that's embarrassing.
Well, everybody's got that. I mean, I've got a number of movies that I did with Factory 2000 that I've never actually seen before.
But they're out, too. They're distributed. Yeah,
they just got distributed. It was like, oh, whatever, we're making money at the time, but it's not anything that I would recommend for anybody to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I just remembered something. You said, was I ever actually shot an actual film? And I just remembered something that I was. And this was like one of these weird things. When I was working as a mechanic back in the 70s, the guy I was working for went to school with the head prop guy at United Artists. So whenever wanted something like a fucking wrecker or toolboxes or shit, they go to my boss. But I didn't know this shit. So we got this thing. We're going over New York to do something to a car. So they just, you know, grab your fucking thing and get in the truck. Okay, so I go over there. We pull up to this thing, and they pull the wheel off. So I popped the fucking thing. There was only one lug nut holding the fucking wheel. I'm like, what the fuck? That was that movie with Ernest Borgnine and Carol O'Connor, Law and Disorder. You can see the back of my head or something in it. You don't see my face. But, yeah. That was my first exposure to film. I completely forgot about that. Then when you said about you ever been shot on film, I'm like, oh fuck yeah, I was.
Hey Todd, did you self distribute early on, or you had the distribution right away with Dakota?
Yeah, I never self distributed. As a matter of fact, I met Dave, and it was like I showed him the stuff I'd been working on with my friends, and that was that. I mean, I've never really self distributed since.
Because I think we're going to try out the, we'll talk, me and Joe and, you know, Ruby and whoever else worked on, we'll obviously talk about it, but I think we should try the, you know, the self-distribution thing and just, you know.
Well, nowadays you have a lot more outlets.
So much stuff. Yeah, you can get stuff on, like, Amazon and, you know.
You can get it out there. Plus, you could find someone to sub-distribute it for you that's a larger company. Like, you put it out yourself and sell it to them, and they'll sub it. You know, like, you can get, back in the day, you could get, like, a lot of different people to sub it, like Image and people like that. But now some of those guys are gone, so you have to find some smaller subs.
They kicked everybody to curb anyway.
Yeah, you could do it, though. You could do it.
Yeah, because, we're going to have, like, you know, like 7 or 8 films to put on this thing besides Bloodwings. Like, you know, we have Bloodwings. We're going to have some behind-the-scenes. And then we just shot a movie Screamer Claws directed called Dog Shit. And it's pretty crazy. It's like this like utopian society where everyone has paper plates as faces. But it's never really explained. yeah. Dog shit. It's just crazy. And like, it's all about brainwashing and these people like live in the forest, kind of.
Society. It's like a Jimmy's take on like a 1984, a Brave New World type of a story.
Yeah, thing,
but his is a Jimmy. Screamer Claws.
Yeah, he's doing like, yeah, that movie. That was a crazy shoot too. You know, there's like a scene and they're doing a rape scene, and like I have to write back to Brandon Slagle, like the hero of the movie. He's like the bunny man. He plays just a guy with, he's in a pink bunny suit and he's got a pink paper plate mask, and he did a scene when like the characters, it was actually me and Bill Hellfire, like these two gang members, and Bill's like raping him, and he gets off and I start raping him, and it was pretty disgusting. So we did these like insert shots of like, you know, the prop penis like fucking the bunny man, and there's like worms on there, and then Joe is spitting on it, and Ruby is
it's a
nodding
family film.
On it.
Oh, it's a family.
Oh my God! It's and then the demon that lives inside everyone's stomach. It's like Screamer Claws went to like Chinatown. Oh shit!
One thing, just to plug another friend of ours, this kid Paul. I don't know his last name. And Dog Shit. He well, you know what I'm saying, Victor. It's like a squid rabbit.
Yeah, and they pull it out of an ass. Paul's like, fucking sick artist, man.
Oh, Paul did some stuff for Bloodwings, too. You can elaborate.
Oh, yeah. Paul's a big part of Blood. Paul made us, like, statues. He made us a podium, like a satanic podium, and these flags with, like, art. His art is, like, throughout the movie, you know?
When we were doing the backyard thing, I saw all that stuff.
Yeah, he was, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The podium and he's, like, the teacher on, he made that.
So,
Wait, Victor, did you, like, talk to him, but did he make that specifically for the movie? Did you, like, ask him what you wanted?
Yeah, no, I said, like, he had some shit for Jimmy, and, well, I saw a shit online, and I was like, dude, if you can make some stuff, man, that'd be sick. He's like, yeah, and he just showed up with that, you know, and I told him, can you make a podium, like, 2 days before the movie? He shows up with a fucking podium with, like, an upside-down cross on it covered in skulls, and just, I was like, you don't get more badass than this.
It's something like that. Like, the kid makes this in 2 days, and Victor talks to him maybe, a week before, and he just had it ready. Like, he just wanted to be involved.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like, everybody's there, and everybody's really, like, doing really cool shit, and that's what it's supposed to be all about, you know?
Yeah. We have a great effects guy, too. Shane.
I couldn't remember where I had met him. Then when he said the chiller thing, I'm like, okay, that's where I remember you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like I was saying last night, you know, when I was doing that, you talked to like a fucking 1,000 people over the weekend. And it's like, you know, people woke up to you, hey, you remember me? And I'm like, well, no, I don't, you know. Remember.
Shane's also one of the guys that will stick out in the crew just because of the way he looks. And then when you talk to him, it's like, you're like, oh, this is a cool kid, too, as well. I'm like, you know, he knows his shit, too, so.
He's like, you know, and he's in the movie too. He plays one of Pete's minions in the long hairs, which I'm excited because Pete's not done. We have two more scenes to shoot with Pete, and you know, there's a big dog fighting scene. We got to shoot the big scene where, like, you know, the underground dog fighting ring goes down.
We still haven't gone to yet. That's probably gonna be the hardest scene to shoot.
Yeah, it will be the hardest, and we'll take the most time with it. You know.
16mm as well, so it's going to be even harder than the other one. Was so much easier because we were in Super 8, and it was like, that's basically like a point and shoot camera, but, like, you know, we still had to move lights, and we lit everything for the Super 8, but this is going to be 16, so it's, you know, every shot's going to have to be planned out.
Yeah, you know, 8's a lighter camera, it's smaller, you can roll around with it, you know.
Oh yeah,
you know,
around
16.
Take the footage.
Yeah. In January we're doing this?
Probably, that might be February, because January I'm going to, I want to shoot the rest of the outdoor scenes, because, you know, I want to shoot that stuff before, like, there's snow on the ground, you know, and I feel like get that stuff done with, and there's a couple more scenes with Johnny Link, and...
Yeah, we got to kill Johnny Link and Lauren Lockwich.
Yeah, exactly. So we still have some stuff to do, but I'd say we're like 40% done shooting. So Pete's not done. Pete gets to induct somebody else.
Girls, the girls want to be in it. Like, I gotta take care of my kids, you know.
Exposure. The Bensoners girls want to be in it.
Yeah,
they're gonna be the metal chicks, man.
Yeah, you told me.
And I asked her if she'd make out with Ruby, and she said yeah.
I already like the Bensoners girls because they're from Bensonhurst.
They're from Bensonhurst, man. They're fucking badass.
Yeah, they're tough.
Oh, and they're all into Pete, too, so, like, you know, they gotta be cool.
Yeah, they found me. I was like, okay. 20-year-olds, dare I? Yeah, they're pretty cool, though. I, you know, we're friends.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, no, they're cool. They're smart, you know?
Should I just sit back and go, you know, I used to drink like that when I was 20. Now I know why I fucking stopped.
You can't, yeah.
That whole Blackberry Brandy fucking deal was... I started that shit. And, like, man, I was hungover for 2 fucking days after that crap. That's why
I was doing it. Yeah, I was fucking wasted. I got wasted last night, and I was at that bar.
That was pretty
funny. Yeah, oh, yeah. I came home to... I got home, actually. I was wasted and stoned because I, you know, I smoked right outside that bar last night. It was... I remember having a conversation with some guy about Richard Pryor... Like, all right, cool. And then I went home and I talked to Joe about Inglourious Basterds that I remember. And that was awesome.
That bar is great. That's like where time stood still, you know?
What bar did you guys go to?
The Holland. Manhattan. It was that. It's on 9th Avenue. It's like it's still the 70s there.
It's like right by Port Authority, like right behind it.
Oh,
or just his bar. I think it's just his bar outside.
It's bar outside.
It's cool.
I bought you like 3 or 4 beers. I don't know what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah. And I did the one round, and that was good. That was toasty last night.
Pizza was good, too, and I just went down and took the away from them, guys.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that, too. We had pizza and shit. So, Joe, anything you want to add before we go?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does Todd Sheets want to add anything?
Hey, man, I'm just glad to meet you guys.
I could yell that. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. That's my final thought.
That's my final thought. I'd say thank you to everyone that participated. It's going to be well worth it. We're making the best dangerous art, and it's going to be killer and satanic and Hail Satan.
I'm just glad to be involved because it's some cool shit going down, you know?
Totally. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be, it's going to be kick-ass. So, too many talented people for it not to be, you know?
It's going to be a little bit terrible. Yeah, people are done. But, you know, and I think...
Thanks. It's right around Thanksgiving. You know, you got to ask yourself this question, and I'll leave everybody with this. If the pilgrims had shot a bobcat instead of a turkey, we'd all be eating pussy for Thanksgiving. Hey,
pussy for Thanksgiving. I would love it.
I've been drinking way too much tonight. And, like, you know, here we are. It's Thanksgiving. And, you know, a lot of shit's been going down. A lot of people are pissed off and stuff. But, you know, I got to ask myself, what do I got to be thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for having this show. I'm thankful for Todd Sheets for producing this whole thing and getting it off the ground. I'm thankful for you, the fans, for, you know, continually supporting me. You know, these little battles I start with the touring sites and things like that. It's, you know, not for my benefit. I mean, you know, what the fuck? It's just cheating everybody in general, but I digress. I'm thankful that, you know, certain things are still going on the way they are. My parents are still alive. You know, I'm thankful for that. You know, a lot of things. Friends and family mean a lot.
I think our friendship is really a really cool thing, and I'm really thankful for the fact that we're able to do this show each week because it brings us closer. Yeah, so we learn so much. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's that time of the year. And like I say, things are tight, and there's a lot of bad shit going on. But, you know, people, like, pull together, like, just as we... just demonstrated with the Chainsaw Kiss crew. And I mean, you know, I go out there, I didn't know any of these people except for maybe, you know, Ruby, Joe, Victor, a couple other people. And like, it was all like one big happy family, everybody pulling together. What do you want me to do? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do the other thing? And that's probably the way a set should be. You know, I've never been on many of them. I did that, you know, the one you hate, you know, Bat Babe.
We don't want to talk about that one. Sorry.
Oh, let me have a hit of wine then.
What's wrong with you people calling something the Dark Knighty? Get out of here. Damn it.
I had no idea. I played a fifth on that. What the fuck? I did him a favor. It's exposure. I was good in that, though. You got to admit.
I can't admit because I couldn't get through it. I couldn't watch because it's making fun of Batman.
You didn't see me getting the shit knocked out of me with the shovel?
No. You need to show me that part. Just that part.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll bring it up to Wastelander. I don't even know what I did with mine. That's how much it meant to me.
Yeah, maybe you sat on it or threw it down the street or used it as a coaster.
No. That one, you know, the only reason, you know, one of the reasons I like that is because I did a little choreography with the fight scenes and shit, which was pretty cool.
Someone needed to do something.
Well, you know, I got to try what I got to do here. But anyway, we just went off that whole tangent. So, yeah, I'm thankful that I live in a country where I can be this foul-mouthed bastard who sometimes becomes an asshole at times. But, you know, you got to admit, a lot of the shit that I say, you know, pretty much rings true, and I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, be the end-all, be-all anything. You know, opinions are like assholes. I got an opinion, I'm an asshole, so, you know, it goes hand in hand. But, you know, I'd like to think I make people think, and I like to think I try to wake some people up to certain shit that's going on, and I like to try to be entertaining and, you know, informative and try to do my best out here. And it's like, you know, people like, you know, Ruby, and, you know, we've had Sid on, we've had Ted Michaels, we have Georgina Spelvin. I mean, these are great people, and, you know, I'm just flattered that they've, you know, wanted to be on the show and had a good time being on it and stuff. So, you know, we're going to continue this stuff. So pretty much to everybody, have a happy holiday. It's 42nd Street Pete. Stay sick.
Second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Why? Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the
the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4.
Oh.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to
die.
Here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I wanna sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit.